In this episode, I share a story about the power of accepting praise, and I contemplate whether to hold on to, or not, my old measures of success. So here we go, episode 259, Accepting Praise. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Today's episode is going to be kind of two different parts or two different sections. In the second part, I'll be reading a bit of a story. I wrote it in a blog once and I wanted to share it here about accepting praise. But first, I wanted to talk about a little dilemma, a little dilemma that I'm having. So we're getting ready to do some spring cleaning and get in there and clean out my tack room and pressure wash around the barn. And so in my tack room, on one wall, I have, you know, the obligatory equestrian string of ribbons. Now, I've weeded out the ribbons over the years, but every time I weed out the ribbons, there's always some that are just, you know, the more special ones, and I just can't bring myself to throw them out. So it's down to this one small line of ribbons. And you know, the blues are all faded into purple and, you know, all the other colors have faded too. And they're covered in spider webs and dust. And I kind of forget that they're there, except every now and then I look up and I see them and I have these mixed emotions. So on the one hand, I can stop and look and feel really proud and remember the horses that I won them on. Sometimes I can't remember the horses that I won them on. I just didn't write it down and it's, it could be anybody. But some of them I do specifically remember and they were my horses. And so in many ways, I feel really proud. And on the other hand, they're not at all the way I measure success anymore. I mean, it was such a big part of my life, you know, starting competing when I was a kid. And then that just naturally flowed into part of being a professional. And then at some point, I just kind of lost interest in the competing part of it. So it was a big part of my life. It was a big part of how I got to where I am now. I mean, the experience of doing that. And yet now, you know, in so many ways, I don't really care about them anymore. And that's it's a strange feeling. So if I keep them, you know, is that honoring the effort and honoring the horses and honoring what I did and the accomplishment? Is it just sentimentality? Is it holding on to an old identity? And, you know, what would it mean if I threw them out? Is there a part of me lost forever? I mean, not really, you know, I still know. I still know what I did. I don't need to look at them to remember that. But it's really weird to look at something that was such a big part of my life. And like I said, I mean, I'm here right now living this wonderful life because of my doing that in many ways. So if I don't care, if I can just chuck them out, like, does that mean that I've just become cold? And I don't know, there's a beauty to sentimentality, right? And if I keep them, and if I keep them up in my tack room, like, who am I trying to impress? very few people go through my tack room. And is a part of me thinking still of that cartoon character of a equestrian professional that I have to have the obligatory string of ribbons? I mean, do I need to keep them around as evidence? And so I'm asking myself, like, when I look at them, you know, do I get joy or not from seeing them? Honestly, I kind of don't notice them on a daily basis. It wasn't until I was standing there thinking of, all right, what do we need to do to really clean? What do I need to take off the walls? And then I'm like, oh yeah, look at the ribbons. I mean, they're right there in plain sight. So that's what I'm trying to contemplate. Like, do I get joy or not from seeing them? And that would be my way of decision making. I mean, I definitely feel a certain fondness. There are stories that are remembered by seeing them. And so again, I can be really proud and it can feel good. You know, and then I ask myself, well, what feels good? Like, why am I feeling good? Am I just like seeing it and going, oh yes, I remember. I'm really good. Look how many times I was the best one in the class. But when I look at them and I feel good, it's more feeling good about the challenge, feeling good about the education that I went through. Of course, feeling good about the amazing horses. I mean, just remembering the feeling of going in there and doing a test on a certain day and having a good result. And it feels good when I think about the dedication, you know, just that dedication that, you know, I still show just differently. But there was a certain kind of dedication. I think maybe it's from being, you know, being a kid and competing, you know, back at the age where, you know, you just did what you were told, you know, kids kind of do what they're supposed to do, or at least I did. And it's like, you go to school, okay, and then you take tests, so then you ride horses, and then you take tests. You know, and there's just that, like, of course I'm going to do this, that kind of head down, you know, just keep going and not questioning. Like, that's a pretty cool spot to be in. I feel like as an adult, I question everything, which is a luxury to be able to, but it makes things more complicated in a way. So I look at those ribbons and I think, wow, that's what happens when you just keep going and you have a single goal and you just keep going. And then sometimes I think, you know, when I remember the stories, and I remember if I really kind of dig down into another layer of the memories, like, will I start to remember details that from my new perspective now, you know, might really change things? Like, does it really still feel as good if I remember more of the stories, the horses, or how much I did not know at that time? How much I might have pushed more than I should have, but who knows? You know, it's really hard to look back and try to think what would have happened if I had done it differently. I mean, I knew I was still having so much to learn, as I do now, though, right? I'm still far from perfect. But I find when I look at the ribbons and I look at that, I feel proud of the accomplishment and the dedication. I remember the horses fondly. But I also kind of feel like I don't want to remember more, which is kind of weird. Okay, just, it's okay. Just having the surface level. Good job, Karen. Look what you did. So I know I'm going to take them down. I'm going to take them down because I got to clean the spider webs and the dust. And I think I'll give them a good cleaning. So I'll clean around them. I'll clean them too. And maybe that will be a good meditation moment or contemplation moment. Just sort of the honoring of sitting down with these ribbons and cleaning them one by one. Taking a minute to sit with them, remember what I remember. And so I guess I'll let you know how that goes. I'll see how it feels. And then maybe I can do something else with them. Like maybe I can turn it into an art project. I mean, I'm not really crafty. Well, I'm actually getting more crafty lately. I'm sure I could Google something and come up with some ideas. Probably some of you listening are like, ooh, I have an idea. And feel free to email me. Years ago, I had these sheets that when I went to the Young Rider Championships, that was a little while ago, but part of what you got as a competitor at the, you know, on the team is a couple of years they gave different sheets to put, you know, horse sheets, and they had the Young Rider Championship logo on them, and they're pretty cool. And so I hung onto these sheets, and they're really old school kind of sheets, and my horses don't wear stable sheets. So I just had them, but they kept hanging around, and I'm like, I really don't need this. I'm not going to use it as a sheet. And, you know, I didn't really feel like hanging it on the wall or something, but I couldn't bring myself to throw them away because, you know, that definitely was something I was very, very proud of. And so Shauna, who you heard on the last episode, she took them. I guess my husband and Dana and she conspired and she took them, which I didn't notice because they were tucked away somewhere. But she took them and somebody she knew turned them into these like big pillows. So there, it's a big pillow, and the way she put it, like it buckles in the front, and then on the side, on one side of the pillow, it like has the buckles. And on the other side, it had the logo. And I mean, they're sitting in my office right now. They're right behind me. And I'm like, that's so perfect because now it's a pillow that is decorative and useful. And I see it and has a reason to be here. And then I can also think of it and remember and, you know, treat myself to those little twinges of, good job, Karen, you did that. Anyway, I guess this is a to be continued. Sometime this week, I'm going to get in there and clean that tack room. And I'm curious as to what I do with those ribbons. We'll see. Okay, so that was part one. And I'm going to just trust that these two part ones and part twos are related. It feels like they are, but I haven't really like deep down thought of it, you know, to try to make sure these two parts go together, but I'm sure they do. So this is a blog I wrote a while ago, and it's called Accepting Praise, and it's kind of written as a little bit of a short story. So yeah, story time with Karen. I'm gonna read it to you. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. Accepting Praise, a short story about accepting praise and positivity. I don't know about you, but I am not one for false compliments. I don't go crazy giving them, and I don't go looking for them. With that said, I am extremely appreciative of things in my life, and I express gratitude towards others, and I focus on the positive. But my tendency is to feel like I have to truly earn or be deserving of any praise. I don't think I'm alone on this. I mean, there's many times that I might tell someone that, like, they look great today, only for them to then list all the things why they don't think that they're looking so great today. I'm like, you look great today. Oh, my hair is just a mess, or something like that. Well, today I got a chance to practice accepting praise on false pretenses. And you know what? It felt great. So this morning I went for a run on a popular public paved trail. It turned out that there was a race going on that trail, an out and back half marathon. The parking lot I used was the turnaround point for the race. Now, it's no problem to share the course on a race like this, so I started running on what was mile 8 of the course, heading back towards their finish. And so I was meeting all the runners who were still heading out to their turnaround point behind me. Now, my goal at the time was to start increasing my speed on a 5K. And so the plan was, this run was meant to be like just to get my baseline. And then in subsequent runs, I would gradually start to increase my pace. And I had a target goal that I would hopefully reach and be able to do after a month. So I headed out. And pretty soon a couple of guys zipped past me. And I met lots of other runners heading out, and they were all really friendly and giving me big thumbs up and smiles and saying, like, great job, and you go. I was like, okay. And I thought, wow, what an especially friendly and nice group of runners. The races I had done in the past are always marked by a feeling of, you know, mutual support and camaraderie among the athletes. But for some reason today, this was seeming extra special. I don't know, maybe this run was organized by the Especially Friendly Runners Association of Gainesville or something. So I just smiled and waved to them, but really I was pretty busy huffing and puffing and concentrating on keeping my pace up that I didn't really respond. I was like, okay. And after a few more people passing me and saying, way to go, or awesome, one group of women finally said, first female, you got this. And I was like, oh, I just realized that because of where I joined the course, it made it seem like I was the lead among the women. Oops. So it's kind of crazy what can go on in someone's head. I mean, I immediately felt like a fraud. I was like, don't praise me. I'm nothing. I'm not in the lead. Don't you see? I don't have a race number on. I mean, then I was like, oh my gosh, everyone's going to think I'm cheating. And even though I didn't really believe those thoughts completely, I mean, but you know what I mean? I felt like I had to go back and go, no, I'm not trying to pretend I'm the lead. I'm just out for a little run. And then I thought, what if I just decide to soak in the positivity? Like, what if I don't have to explain myself? So I decided to just soak it in, and I sat up and ran tall and ran proud. And people still were saying nice things about me, right? Because the people who were paying attention to the race were like, I was the first female they saw, and the timing was about right. So when people praised me, you know, I just got a big grin and gave them a thank you. And I resisted the temptation to explain, oh, I'm not in the race. I mean, who knows? Maybe I was inspiring them, you know, and I don't want to take that away. Is what I rationalized. Because you know what, actually, I was doing a great job and I was feeling pretty darn awesome. I mean, I was out there with my body, myself, and my brain, and I just decided to go ahead and leave my brain's stupid thoughts behind me, right? So if I just let the stupid thoughts of my brain behind me, then I was in the lead, right? That's a challenge enough. That's a noble race to run. You know, I was running the race we all have to win, the race against the thoughts that hold us back or that tell us we're not worthy or tell us we're just not there yet or that this win that we have isn't big enough to really count. I mean, why should I think for even 1 second that I didn't deserve to hear and accept people praising my effort? I mean, race or no race, I was out there pushing myself, running, moving my body, expanding what's in my range of what's possible. I mean, just like they were, they just had numbers on. So I think showing up counts. I think doing your best counts. And we shouldn't need to apologize for receiving praise for that. And we shouldn't have to apologize for accepting that praise. Now later, I passed the group of women who had said, "First female." You know, like I had already turned around now, and so had they. And we passed each other for the second time. And I could see they recognized me, and I could see they recognized their error. And I heard one turn to the other, and I heard her say, "Oh, she's just out for a run." It's amazing how much can change in like the 1.6 miles since I had last passed them. You know, by this time I was fully owning my power, right? So instead of hearing them and thinking, "Oh no, no, I feel bad that I'm lying as I'm running," now I just is like, "That's right. I'm running." I was so grateful for that woman's error, right? I was thinking about how much better my run had been by hearing all the support. And it really brought to my awareness just how measured we can all be in giving each other praise and support. You know, how conditional it could be. You know, is it, you know, I want to praise, but is it really worthy? You know, I want to say that looks good, but it might not be. I mean, this is definitely true in the horse world. We're all a little bit afraid to support each other in case there's something that somebody does in the background that we don't know about, as if that would negate the moment right in front of you. I mean, I would say good job, but I need to make really sure that you really fully deserve it before I do. I mean, that just kind of feels, I don't know, yucky. All right, so what's my point? Well, I still think authenticity is really important. It's kind of everything. And we don't need to go around making things up just to find something artificially nice to say. But maybe the key is to just help each other feel good about ourselves when we make the effort to show up. I mean, can we let people inspire us for no reason at all, even if we don't have all the facts? And can we let other people be inspired by ourselves? You know, can you let someone be inspired by you without putting yourself down? Can we accept praise? Can we accept support? What is it we say with horses? Rewarding the slightest try? The bottom line is all that false praise or quote-unquote undeserved praise, that worked. So this run was supposed to be a run to get my baseline speed so that then I can plot my progress on my way to my new target pace. And when I hit stop on my Garmin, it told me that my average pace was exactly the pace that I was supposed to get to in a month. So I met my goal. Oops, I accidentally did better than I planned. Maybe that had something to do with allowing myself to feel like a winner. And because everything comes back to horsemanship, how can you help your horse feel like a winner so he can surprise you with his abilities? If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.